1-800-875-5735. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and around the globe at kpfk.org.
Cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. We are normally joined by two of my best friends in the world, but this week we're going to have to tough it out because Michelle is on vacation. Michelle Spencer, our Orange County Bureau Chief and radio veteran, is not with us. She is off somewhere. So if something's going on in Orange County, we do not know about it. But luckily, we have Ricardo Rodriguez Long, another veteran radio journalist and writing journalist who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino, and a number of other accolades. Welcome, Ricardo.
Good afternoon to everyone. Another pleasure to be here. We have so much to talk. There's so much happening in the center of the car culture, which is Los Angeles.
It is. And we only have 58 minutes to talk about it. And before we can get to it, we need to ask for your help. Because this show, even though we don't get paid a nickel to do it for the love of the game, as they say, for the love of the cars and sometimes the love of motorcycles. We need your financial assistance, shall we say. This is our pledge drive. We're in the middle of our spring pledge drive, and we would really appreciate it if you could do your part to help us out in order to keep the lights on in the studio and to keep 110,000 watts of power blasting off the top of Mount Wilson and on several repeater stations throughout Southern California. If you can, please give us a call at 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and hit the donate button. Please give us whatever you can, because this is you're the only source of we're not helped out by any large corporate backers. We have no giant benefactor, no benevolent overlord. It's just you, and we are counting on you. So please call 818-985-5735 and make a pledge, or go to kpfk.org. And now off to the calendar items. You may have heard some roaring sounds from down around the Long Beach area. Ricardo, what is going on down there?
Well, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, you know, an event that has been going on for many, many years. An excellent weekend for those that like speed. Indy cars are on track in a couple of seconds. Actually, they're about to start running the Indy cars. But later on today, we also have the WeatherTech IMSA class, and they will have the race around 4 o'clock. I love to watch those prototypes. There's also the GT class. And if you like trucks, they have the super trucks jumping along Ocean Boulevard.
The flying trucks.
The flying trucks. And also, tomorrow, you can see some of the vintage Indy cars that are going to be supposed to be an exhibition. But I think once racers put their helmets on, they forget that is an exhibition. So you're going to see some vintage Indy cars through the streets on Long Beach. And of course, tonight, you have the Super Drift Challenge. That is something that I really enjoy every weekend. These guys are going so close to the walls. It's just amazing. The car control they have, I don't know how to describe it. To me, it's total chaos, but somehow they manage not to hit the wall. And those tires that last about 35 to 42 seconds, and the tires are gone from burning them up. That's just an amazing, very exciting exhibition.
Tire sponsors yeah, are one of the biggest supporters of Formula Drift. And in fact, last weekend at Long Beach, Formula Drift opened its season. And James Dean, the Irishman, won it all. He was three-time champion he is back better than ever, and he did quite well. So we can see more drifting. That's what you're saying tonight.
And one more thing. This is a family event. It's not just for the motorsports gears. I mean, there is an expo going on. This is an annual event, and it's one of the best IndyCar events for the whole year. I think it's second to the Indy 500. Always over 200,000 people. Everything is there to make it a wonderful racing weekend. So today and tomorrow, there's still tickets available. Just drive down to downtown Long Beach at the end of Ocean. That's the entrance right behind the convention center. You're still on time to see the WeatherTech IMSA race this afternoon, the Formula Drift. And also, there is a jam concert. Gretchen Wilson, Eddie Montgomery, David Lee Murphy from Six Wire are going to be performing around 7 p.m. So
that sounds like fun.
A lot of fun.
And we can see if Joseph Newgarden continues his lead. There's only been one points race so far. That was at St. Pete, and Newgarden won that. And then the non-points race a couple weeks ago out there at Thermal, Alex Palou. Am I saying that right? Or Palou?
Palou.
Palou, thank you. He won that, but he didn't get any points for it. So we'll see what
happens. He didn't get points, but he got $1 million.
So. I guess that's nothing to sneeze at, is it? $1 million. I was out there and I didn't get $1 million. So go down and check it out. See if actually Michelle loves Joseph Newgarden. So Joseph, if you're listening, say hi to Michelle, will you? That's not the only thing happening at a racetrack up at Irwindale Speedway. What do we have? April 21st, Ricardo. What's coming up?
Ah, wonderful. The Fabulous Fours Forever. This is one of the biggest all four events in the country. And now that they're doing it at Irwindale, there's going to be over 1,000 Fords. They're going to be parked in groupings of, I would say, like Mustangs on one side, 4Ts and early A's on another side. It will be 4 pickup trucks, Galaxies. If you're into Fords or if you're into Americana, definitely this is a show that you want to go and enjoy. Lots of horsepower, lots of vintage cars. I think it's a wonderful location as well.
It is. They've got lots of room there at Irwindale. Parking, sometimes they overflow, sometimes they don't, but get there early. Show starts at 10 o'clock. Most of the cars there are Mustangs. I think out of about 1,100 Fords that generally show up, 1,100 to 1,200 Fords, 800 to 900 of them are Mustangs. So any era of Mustang that you ever loved will be represented there, and you can go check them out. And usually they have some of the big suppliers like Celine and Shelby and those guys. What were you going to say, Ricardo?
That I will be there with my Mustang.
That's right. Go and see Ricardo's Mustang. Vote for it for best in show. Stuff the ballot box. Whatever.
And they will also be doing drag races. They're going to use the Irwindale drag strip. So there will be, you know, all these fours will have a chance to make runs and see how quickly they can make that 1/8 of a mile racetrack.
1/8 of a mile. Lots of good burnout fun there at Irwindale Speedway, April 21st from 10 to 3.
And, 605 Freeway, exit Live Oak Avenue.
You can't miss it. Just listen to the sound of the 1/4, 1/8 mile burnouts going on, and you'll have fun. Guaranteed fun. Also, April 27th, a little farther off into the future, we have German cars and specifically Porsches at Air and Water, Saturday, April 27th at the Orange County Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. This is the same people who put on Luftgekühlt. You like how I said that? I couldn't say Alex Palou, but I could say Luftgekühlt. So very limited language skills here on my end. But that should be a good show. Judging by all the great shows that Luftgekühlt has put on in the past, this Air and Water, because Luftgekühlt obviously means air cooled. Now Air and Water means they're expanding, so you can get Porsche 928s and whatever else is air cooled there. That's Saturday, April 27th at the OC Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa.
Then, now, last year's show that they did it in Alameda County on an island, I can't remember the name. It was awesome. They thought about the display of the cars in such a very, very clever. So I'm expecting a lot from this show again. I give credit to Patrick Long and all the organizers, everyone that is behind this enterprise. For Porsche lovers, and especially in Southern California, it's one of those events now that it's just an annual event that you just don't want to miss. And when you have it in Southern California, you want to take advantage.
It's you can go to air-water.com. That's as simple an email address as may exist. So check that out. That is always a fun event. I still remember the time that they held Luftgekühlt at Universal Studios backlot. That was amazing. I don't know how they're ever going to top that, but maybe they'll do it at OC Fairgrounds, April 27th. If you want to go across the English Channel to check out British cars, may we recommend the Queen's English, all British car meet and auto jumble. Now, a jumble is what we would call a swap meet. That is taking place Sunday, April 28th from 9 to 3 at Woodley Park in Van Nuys. You can see Bentleys, Triumphs, Austin Healeys, Range Rovers, Morris Minors, Mini Coopers, MGs, Jags, Rolls Royces, and Vauxhalls. Vauxhalls? Vauxhalls. And there will also be a few food trucks there, and you can stroll through the auto jumble and see what kind of stuff you want. I always wind up buying a couple of goofy things there, stuff that I certainly don't need, but it's kind of cool to have on your desk or something. So British Motorcycles will also be a part of that. The most amazing thing about this show is that so many British cars started and drove all the way to this event. That's Sunday, April 28th, 9 to 3, Woodley Park in Van Nuys, freeway close, right off of, what is that freeway? The Hollywood Freeway? The 170, I think.
170 is the 170. Yeah. And that you took the words right off my mouth, because it was like, yes, this is a gathering of British cars that aren't running.
They are actually running, which running. Is a miracle.
So when I see some of these names, you know, Triumphs, Austin Healeys, some Morris, you know, it's just
there were MGs in my family growing up, and you know, every couple of weeks you rebuilt the engine, and it still had problems. Salute to these guys for just showing up. You know, 80% of success is just showing up, and they do that darn well. It's free too. Free to spectate. Be careful, because a lot of people park across the street there in Woodley Park. And that's like, I think, a four-lane wide street. So, you know, be careful crossing that street, because most people cross in the dirt over there. You can park on the same side as Woodley Park, just south of it. There's a huge parking lot for another section of the park, and that's a safe place to park. And you have to walk just a little bit farther, but not much farther. So that's
it's a lot
our insider
safer.
Recommendation. Yeah, it's a lot
that's
safer.
A very good tip, Mark. That's a All very, right. very good tip.
Now, going back in time for the Pasadena Roadster Club Reliability Run, which is going to be a whole bunch of really cool, genuine old roadsters, and a lot of the guys who were there way back in the day. Now, the Pasadena Roadster Club got its start. I mean, it traces its roots back to 1927, when a guy from Pasadena put on a lakes race. And I don't remember which lake it was, where it was, but it was up in the high deserts there. And that was in 1927. So it traces its roots back there. And then the official club got going as the Pasadena Roadster Club after World War II. So there are a lot of, I went to their sort of Christmas gathering at a hot rod shop in Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard and saw some of the guys. It's more than half young guys, I would say. David Steele, our friend from the American Hot Rod, American Hot Rod Federation or American Hot Rod something or other. He is always there. He's a really nice guy. He has a Ford pickup truck, but there are lots of roadsters there. You can check them out. It's going to be at the Elks Lodge. So you can see the start of the run is what we're talking about here. At the Elks Lodge in Pasadena, you get there between 6 and 9:45 a.m. You can get T-shirts in event merchandise, too. If you want more information, go to PasadenaRoadsterClub.org, and that is full of news and information about that event.
Something that is special about that event that I would like to mention is for 1937 or previous year models, but with steel bodies, meaning no kit cars, no fiberglass. These are the real original early hot rodders. And most of them will have the famous flatheads V8s.
Right. So Ford flathead with, as I learned out, it was a very painful lesson for me. They have three exhaust pipes coming out of the block, not four.
That's right.
The middle two are Siamese. I didn't know that. So embarrassing. So check that out. That's how you tell if it's a real flathead.
And I'm some of these roadsters, what I like is just the engine, because there were a lot of cylinder head builders. Most of the people talk about Edelbrock, but there were a ton of fabricators at that time trying to extract the most out of these V8s. And it became very, very popular. And then definitely during the 50s, it was a craze about building all these cars that nobody wanted. It gave teenagers another reason to vandalize the streets of LA with loud noises and, you know, wild girls going to Griffith Park.
Hot rod hooligans. These are the original guys. They will be there. So show up and ask them what it was like back in the day. They'll be happy to tell you. Good time. Also happened in Pasadena. We have another event a little bit later than this. What's that for, Ricardo?
I would say as good as these pre-37 steel bodies car hot rods. What's coming up on Sunday, May the 5th in Old Town, Pasadena, is the Ferrari Concorso. It's the Concorso Pasadena, that I think that's the official name. But basically, it's a Ferrari Concourse. They block, I think it's three blocks of on Colorado, and they bring a lot of different Ferraris, you know, from all vintage. And it has become, I've been there a couple of times, and it's a wonderful show. There are so many collections in Southern California that we can really appreciate them. And most of the owners are very open, and, you know, you can talk to them and see, you know, hear their stories, why they have a particular car. It's also always interesting to learn about the history of the cars. And there's a lot of relationships between owners and cars, and the Ferrari crowd is exactly the same.
You never know what's going to be there. I believe there'll be 90 Ferraris there, and you don't know. One year, Bruce Meyer, the famous Beverly Hills collector, he brought his 1957 Testarossa, the one that competed at Le Mans, and you just never know what's going to be there. We do know that our friends at Pro Italia, the Italian motorcycle dealership in Montrose, are going to be there, and hopefully they'll bring, they specialize in, it's almost all Italian bikes there. So they do a lot of Ducatis, Moto Guzzis, Aprilias, what am I missing? MV Agustas. So they'll have a nice selection of motorcycles too. So be sure and check that out Sunday, May 5th, Old Town, Pasadena. Yes, Ricardo?
You mentioned motorcycles. Same weekend, maybe if you want to ride up the coast, you can go to the Quail Motorcycle Gathering. That's a very special event for motorcyclists.
Yeah, Ricardo and I have both been to that. And I got to say, if you want to know what Pebble Beach was like in about 1955, check out the Quail Motorcycle Gathering. Every year, this is Saturday, May 4th, the same place as the Quail, a motorsport gathering. It's at the Quail Lodge and Golf Club in Carmel, California. It's worth the drive up. Mostly I ride a motorcycle up. Last year, I'm ashamed to say I drove a car up, but it's a great ride up there. A great excuse to get your motorcycle buddies together. You can go up Highway 101 if you want. That's a nice leisurely ride up there. You can also, there's a bunch of great roads between here, Monterey, Carmel, and then the show, of course, Saturday from, I believe, 10 to 3, May 4th, Quail Motorcycle Gathering. This year, they have featured classes, as they do every year, the 30th anniversary of the Ducati 916. Ricardo, did you have a 916? What was yours?
No, that's a very powerful motorcycle. It's almost like a road racing motorcycle that has a license plate and a taillight and a headlight. And they said, it's a street bike, but it's way too fast for me.
So they're celebrating.
Beautiful machine.
30 years of the Ducati 916, 25 years of the Suzuki Hayabusa. I have to say, in all my years of riding and driving cars, the Hayabusa engine is the smoothest, coolest, greatest engine I have ever experienced. So 25 years of that. There will be a class for Vespas featuring decades, as they say, decades of scooter fun, and the 100th anniversary of the American Motorcyclists Association. They also have up on stage, they'll have some luminaries, and I don't have that information exactly who's going to be there for that, but that is always good. They've had Mert Lawwill, who you saw in on any Sunday in previous years. They had just a lot of great guys. It's fun, and we both recommend it, right, Ricardo?
Oh, definitely. It's one of those events that it has to be in your bucket list, and you got to do it at least once. Also, the camaraderie, you know, among all the participants, it's great. The location is beautiful, and the machines that you see. I mean, it's just like Pebble Beach. The motorcycles have to be, you have to ride the motorcycle in, and they have to be running, and they're going to be checking, making sure that they are as close as possible to the original specimen, and they got to be running. You know, it's not just, these are not trailer queens. These are bikes that need to be ridden on the lawn, so that makes it very special.
That's Saturday, May 4th at the Quail Lodge and Country Club. Quail Motorcycle Gathering. Just quickly, a couple of more events. May 5th at Galpin Ford, will have the largest Mustang show in town. Well, for May 5th, that's after Fabulous Fourths Forever. So May 5th, right. Go up to Galpin Ford, 15505 Roscoe Boulevard, North Hills, California, out in the valley. I was there last week for the monthly Cars and Coffee. I was really impressed with that. A lot of cool cars there. Also, way off in the future, May 21st, start planning now for Benedict Castle Concours. That is a good event out in Riverside at Benedict Castle. It's the Car Guys Car Show, something for everyone at that show. And speaking of something for everyone, how about something for us here at KPFK? We need your support, not just your like good karma, though we will gladly accept that. We need some money from you. Please make a generous donation. This is our spring fund drive. We don't bother you all year round, although it seems like it. We only ask for it during our fund drives, and we need your financial support. This station broadcasts at 110,000 watts. Do you know how much that costs just to keep that part of it running? It ain't cheap. So please give us a call, 818-985-5735, or you can go to kpfk.org. Just click on the donate button. It's easy, and we really definitely need your help. KPFK needs your help. This is not just for us at the car show, which we hope is your favorite show here, but for all the other great shows. You get a perspective, you get news that you will not find anywhere else. All thanks to the journalists, reporters, and hosts on KPFK. So please give them a call at 818-985-5735. It doesn't have to be $1 million, though that would be appreciated. You know, maybe Alex Pillow could give us the million that he won at Thermal. Alex, are you listening? Please go to kpfk.org, click on the donate button. It's easy as pie. So we appreciate, we thank you in advance for your support. We can't, literally could not do it without you. And news, we're into the news section. You ready, Ricardo, for news?
I'm ready.
I've got news out in the valley. Autobooks, Aero Books, our favorite bookstore. Tina and Chuck have been running that for many, many years. They took it over from Chuck Knox, who sadly passed away recently, the previous owner of Autobooks, Aero Books, and they are going to sell that bookstore. That's right. It is for sale. Drive up to Magnolia Boulevard and make them an offer. Tell them, you know, just write them a check. After you write your KPFK check, write one to Chuck and Tina and buy that store from them and keep that store going. It's a gathering spot for all car enthusiasts. It always has been. Chuck and Tina, they are. Now, it's impolite to mention ages, but I think Chuck is 80 and Tina, I think, is in her mid-70s. So they want to retire. They have already turned over the reins of the Queen's English Car Show and the Best of France and Italy Car Show to new owners for those two shows. And now they are selling this beloved Southern California icon, Autobooks, Aero Books. And it's such a cool store on any Saturday.
It is an iconic place here in Los Angeles, Mark. I mean, I think we've all been there many times. And it's one of those things that is so embedded in Los Angeles, you know, like the Autobooks store, you know, years looking for books, specialty, you know, for gifts or for learning. I mean, I would say a certain percentage of the books that I use to study and to learn about the automotive industry and, you know, insights were my trips to Autobooks. So definitely we want to make sure that it continues.
On any Saturday you go there, you're likely to see Jay Leno. He's always there on Saturdays looking for books. You're just as likely to see him as some luminary like Parnelli Jones sitting there signing copies of his book, Why, as a matter of fact, I am Parnelli Jones. So there's always authors there. It's a great store. It's a resource. So here's hoping new owners will pick it up. Now, one institution in Southern California you may not have heard of, a little lesser known, the Murphy Museum up there in Oxnard is closing. Murphy was home to about 40, a little over 40 big American classics and muscle cars. It hosted many events over the years. They had a monthly gathering called Muscles and Mojos. Muscles and Mojo. Mojo is singular, or maybe it's both singular and plural. Anyway, they had these great events up there, but the whole thing was run by volunteers, pretty much almost like KPFK. And they just didn't have enough volunteers to do it. There was one guy, David Neal, was the executive director of the show. And I spoke to Maureen Magnuson, who was on the board there. And she said, David is a one-man show and there's no one to replace him because David has a full-time job, just like all the other guys who are volunteering up there. So they were not able to keep it going and it's going to close. They have a couple of more Muscle and Mojo cruise-ins before the whole thing closes. The first one will be tomorrow, Sunday. And after that, there might be one in May. And just so keep an eye out for their on their website, murphyautomuseum.org. So sad news there.
Something also about that place, because I remember taking my son. They have a huge scale train mock-up. I don't know how do you call it, but which is beautiful. Things from another era. But when you were a kid, you was between cars and trains, right? And you could have these tracks, and we have this Scalectric, and then we get the trains.
They had it was an HO scale train. Yeah, whatever you call it, diorama or something. They had a huge slot car track.
Yes.
And they had die-cast Hot Wheels collection on display, and there was even a tiki lounge. It was an interesting place. It's too bad that it's closing. The museum is located at 1930 Eastman in Oxnard, California. The website murphyautomuseum.org. It's only open on the weekends, so make a pilgrimage up there. It's only a few blocks away from the Mullen Automotive Museum, which has also closed, sadly. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that's sad. But I think it's a sign of times. It's changing, and when I see a Nissan pickup truck or a Toyota pickup truck going for $70,000-$80,000, you know, from the 1970s, or a Supra going over $100,000, you can see that the demographics have changed. People perhaps don't have the patience to appreciate all the beautiful cars that made the automobile what it is today.
Yeah, we should have bought real estate and classic cars about 40 years ago, and we'd all be doing really well. It's hard to do it now.
Let's move to something that is very futuristic, and we know that technology, one of the things about technology, something can go wrong because you're pushing the limits. And unfortunately, the new Tesla Cybertruck, hey, owners beware, the accelerator pedal, yes, it has a cover. And that cover can slide off. See, actually, when you press the accelerator, just by moving it, it might get disengaged, that cover. And if it slides up a little bit, it will get stuck with the lower panel of the dash. And it will retain that gas pedal in the on position, I guess, like if you were pressing the accelerator. Something that you have to be very, very careful. So, Cybertruck owners out there, check the pedal, check the accelerator pedal on your Cybertruck, because you definitely do not want to have that issue. It could turn into a major problem. And they have stopped the production temporarily to fix this issue. As far as I know, they say within the next 7 days, they're not going to be producing Cybertrucks while they find a new way to mount this cover on the accelerator pedal. So take into account.
Well, that's not the only pickup truck in the news. Tell us about Nissan and Mitsubishi.
Well, yes, they're joining forces to develop a new pickup truck for the American market. And I think that's very important, especially for Mitsubishi, because Mitsubishi made some wonderful trucks. I actually own one, which I have very fond memories. I never had an issue with that truck. But they're missing a pickup truck. If they would bring the pickup truck that they have in Mexico, I think it would be a huge success. So this joining forces, I think it's important. Makoto Uchida, the leader at Nissan, said, we cannot do everything alone. So they have teaming up with Mitsubishi to work on this truck and also on the future electric truck that both brands are going to bring into the market probably in 2025 or 2026.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be a partnership.
Okay. And I, of course, own a Mitsubishi Imea. Very happy with that. Mitsubishis are cool trucks. Lynn Woodward, who has sometimes co-hosted the show here, she owns a Mitsubishi, what is the SUV? Montero, I think, an older one.
Mitsubishi always has made a very, very good product. And we have to remember that Mitsubishi is a huge company because really Mitsubishi is much more than a car company. I mean, they make rockets, ceramics, refrigerators, you know, steel company, banks. I mean, it's a conglomerate of industries. And Mitsubishi Cars is one of the smallest companies within the bigger picture.
It's too bad that the Mitsubishi has not, there's so much that they could do. They have so many cool cars, trucks, SUVs in other markets. And here we have just, I think it's just the one, right? The PHEV, the Outlander.
And we also have the, and I'm trying to think, I'm skipping my mind, the car that is give you 50 miles per gallon.
Oh, yes. The one built in Thailand. And
yes.
Maybe not for this market, really.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't designed for this market.
Exactly. But I think it's very, very good product.
I don't know. I drove it back when it was new. Boy, that was several years ago. And I remember it was raining when I drove it. And I went under a bridge on the 110 through downtown LA. And there were drops of rain that would hit the roof and the whole car would resonate from a raindrop. So I think that one, I don't know if that's really ready for prime time here in the US market. We're expecting a little bit of like insulation and things on our
cars. I think it's a car that is not for the American market, but if we understand what it is and if we take it for what really is, right. It's a Mirage. What we're talking about is the Mitsubishi Mirage, which is a very economical car, excellent warranty, excellent product. You can have a brand new Mirage for $16,000, which probably is the cheapest car in the market today, between the Outlander. And they have the Eclipse Cross, basically three models in the United States, but definitely they need a pickup truck because this is United States. It's pickup country. That will make a big impact.
Back when they were still headquartered here in Southern California, they had a Mitsubishi Owners Day down at the headquarters. I believe it was Fountain Valley. And people came out of the woodwork. Every Mitsubishi Evo was there.
Yeah.
They were, what's the van, the L600, the Delica? That was, there were a couple guys brought those. There were Mitsubishi Conquest TSIs. Remember those from the 80s, I guess it was. Another cool thing, not a pickup truck, but BMW is bringing back a wagon. Ricardo, what is going on?
Yes. And talk about a niche market. That's a very small market. But Audi, Mercedes, and BMW, they have what they call the Touring, which is a station wagon with steroids. I don't know if that's the right word.
On steroids.
Steroids, yeah. It's the next one coming to United States will have somewhere between 640 and 650 horsepower out of a hybrid powertrain. The first gen was launched in 1992. I don't remember it was the famous 3.8 liter inline six. But the 2007 Touring wagon had the V10 motor. I don't know if you recall the outstanding performance because basically it was an M5 converted into
a wagon. They probably sold like 11 of those.
Yeah. So it's been announced 2025 Touring M will be available in the United States. So that will be a car to talk about.
Did they say which, apart from the 650 horsepower, did they say which engine that was?
Not yet, but I know it will be a hybrid. So
okay.
I will not be surprised if it's similar to the engine that they're using in the WeatherTech IMSA prototype category.
Maybe. Now, there's another BMW that Ricardo and I have both seen. Neither one of us have driven, and it has a German name, so I'll say it, Neue Klasse. Now, Ricardo, what did you think? You just saw it here in L.A. just recently.
Yes, we went to the Petersen Museum with the whole design works from BMW. And we had Julia De Bono, who is in charge of design works, give us an introduction to the new face of BMW, which is very, very interesting because it's definitely a big mix of technology, future interiors, and a body that is very similar to, I would say, an X5. I think it's go ahead.
I gotta say, I was really impressed. I saw it a couple months ago in Europe. They flew us over and showed us a bunch of stuff, and I was really impressed by the body of that thing. I think it makes an SUV look attractive, which didn't seem possible to do. But I think this, and also the Lucid Gravity, which we all saw at the LA Auto Show, those two things are the most attractive SUV bodies, all said and done. But this one, the Neue Klasse, as Ricardo said, was all electric. So
yes,
it's the future of BMW, and this is the first Neue Klasse. There will be many, many more, right?
And I like that it will have an 800-volt architecture. Will make it, if you have the right chargers, but it will be able to recharge the batteries really, really fast. It will be a powerful vehicle. But what I like, Mark, is the interior. I thought that the interior was so well done because, this, first of all, you have a huge sunroof. That it's feel like you're almost in a convertible. Very minimalistic, right? It's just not a lot of noise, but the materials, that's what caught my attention. A lot of recycling materials being used on the interior, the exterior, but the surfaces, all the cloth, things that you can touch and feel, it give you a sensation of warmth. And that was actually the intention that they had. They wanted to connect with the people inside. They make sure that there's certain integration between machine and human. And I think they've done a very, very good job.
Yeah, I was really impressed with it. I got to sit inside of it and look up at that sunroof. It's a gigantic sunroof, but it's not gaudy like some of them. You see, like Audi seems to like the full sunroof tops. And those, I don't know, this one seems to work. BMW has really done a great job. Just from a design perspective on this new car. And like we said, this is sort of a the iX3 size vehicle. There will be others. We saw in January 2023, we saw the iVision D, where D is spelled D-E-E. And in the September, we saw the Vision Neue Klasse. And those were four doors, but they were smaller. I thought they looked kind of like the Lamborghini Islero, if anybody remembers that. Yeah. Really cool looking car. That is also in this Neue class category. So that's
most important is that new, I don't know if we can call it grill anymore because it's all digital, but that kidney shape grill still remains. And the lights now are these tiny strips in sort of vertical lines that will be the headlights. And I don't know what technology is behind them, because when you look at it, it's like, really? Is that enough to let you drive? But obviously it works. That whole front is very futuristic, but still very BMW. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, it's encouraging. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. The kidney grills, I mean, those don't look like kidneys. I don't know what they look like lungs, upside down lungs, maybe. But it is not offensive. Now, BMW was trending toward offensive front ends, and this one is not offensive from any angle. So it's nice to check it out. Maybe they will. Well, they're not going to be at the LA Auto Show. So you can't see it there. You can go to autoweek.com. Just Google Autoweek BMW Neue Klasse, NEUEKLASSE, and you can see some pictures of it there. It's a nice looking car, and it's, if we have to have an electric future, which I embrace, Ricardo is less enthusiastic about it, but I think this is a great way to give us future electric BMWs.
And now that you just serve it on me on a plate to talk about the new studies done by JD Powers and Edmunds, as shown on Automotive News, these reports are showing that the EV interest continues to shrink. 23% of new car shoppers said that they totally dislike the electric vehicle. JD Powers also reported that the percentage of customers not interested on EV cars also continues to grow. It went from 19 to 23%. I don't know. There's a lot of electric vehicles on dealers right now. What they call the supply inventory, which is how many days they're staying there without selling in February, was 159 days, which is a lot. And yeah. 119 through March. Definitely not a hot seller segment anymore.
But
I still think that we don't know what the future is will be. Definitely there is a particular application for the electric car. No question about it.
Yeah. Well, I will say that if 23% of them said they didn't like it, that tells me that 77% do like them. So that's another way to look at it. It's, you know, glass half empty, glass half full. And our glass here at KPFK is drying up. We need you to help us out. We're in the middle of our spring pledge drive. Please be a good car show listener and call in and make a pledge. It can be $10. It can be $5. It can be $1 million. Call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. We need your help. We are not kidding. This station, this show cannot go on without your financial help. We appreciate all the good vibes you're sending us. We appreciate everybody who listens in. We hear from you guys and we like hearing from you. And some, and we meet some of you at car shows and things. We like meeting you and hearing from you. And now we're asking you to please show your support financially for KPFK and for the car show by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a generous donation. So,
Mark.
Yes.
I keep looking and looking. It seems that this car show is still the oldest automotive show on the air. We're in our 52 years now.
Yeah, we're in our 52nd year.
You know, that's a lot of time. We have wonderful hosts in the past. I'm honored to be here, and we want this to continue. It is part of Los Angeles. So we surely help your contribution, which doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. 10 bucks.
Could be.
20
could
bucks.
Be thousands.
That will work. Something
that
is better
work.
Than nothing.
Yes, indeed it is. And especially in this time, the car show was there. It was started during the OPEC oil embargo in 1973, and it is still going strong now as the auto industry makes another huge transition from internal combustion to electric or whatever is going to be next. We are here telling you about it every single Saturday from 1 to 2 on KPFK 90.7 FM. Please support us by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. Now, speaking of cars that we review, we're going to start out with a couple from Korea. So I was just out driving the Hyundai Ioniq 5N. Now, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, as you know, is sort of a crossover. That's what we used to call an SUV, but we can't really get away with calling it an SUV anymore because, you know, it's more of a crossover, which is more of a comfortable car. Now, you think of that, you think of a practical vehicle. You don't think necessarily...
Family car.
Yeah, a family car, a practical family car. But this thing, they have done just about everything that you could do to make this into a performance car. 641 horsepower. That's with the in-grin boost. And it's a blast. I drove it many laps around Laguna Seca, which I'm sure many of our listeners have driven. It's a great track. It was a lot of fun. The Ioniq 5N was a blast.
And I think, let's remind everyone, what does N means for these Korean manufacturer? Just like Mercedes-Benz has the AMG or BMW has the M for the performance. This is sort of, for me, it was sort of unexpected to see an N model being electric because we're trying to minimize pollution and save on energy. But definitely this Hyundai Ioniq 5N, it's going in the other direction. And perhaps it's planting the seed. As I understand, they're going to compete at Pikes Peak and try to make a new world record with a modified version of this Ioniq 5N, which I'm sure that vehicle will be close to 1,000 horsepower with immediate torque at all four wheels. I don't know who the brave driver is going to be because they will have to be
Paul Dahlenbach. There are going to be four drivers.
Okay.
One of them is Paul Dahlenbach because he was the guy I was following around Laguna Seca. You know, they don't just let us go out there anymore. We have to kind of follow a real driver. So I was following Paul Dahlenbach and more or less keeping up with him. So he'll be one of the drivers, but there will be four of these things at Pikes Peak in different classes. So, it'll be.
Now, Mark, I've driven the IONIQ 5. It's a vehicle that I think is one of the best electric vehicles out there. The dynamics are very, very good. I mean, you don't feel like you're an electric car. It's just the way the suspension works. It's really, really good. Now, are there differences in this N version from the standard version other than the N and some coloring?
There is. There are differences from top to bottom of this thing. It's a long list. It has its own its own dampers. It has in. They put the prefix in, which I think one of the things that it stands for is Namyang, which is their technical center in Korea. I've been there. The place is full of engine dynos and all kinds of other things. So the N model offers battery preconditioning, which is what, you know, the Tesla does. So if you're going to launch, you need that. There's in race, in pedal, in brake regen, in drift optimizer, in torque distribution, in launch control, in grin boost, in active sound, which I don't have the sound, the fake sounds in anything. At the moment, I have a Mercedes EQE 500 and it was full of sound. So I went through the sub menu and turned them all off. I am not a fan. Some people love it, but there is also in e-shift and a track state of charge SOC. So they have gone through it and changed just about everything that they could change to make this more of a performance vehicle. And it was fun. It was a blast.
Do we have, do we know what the price difference is going to be from the Hyundai IONIQ standard basic model to the N version?
They did say that, and I'm looking that up. I'm furiously looking that up right now.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I will imagine that there would be a premium with all these performance gadgets.
There would be indeed a premium.
And again, I don't think that this is going to be a hot seller. I think it's a demonstration of what Hyundai engineers can do.
$66,100.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's a lot. And my question, though, my overall philosophical question about this is why do this to a crossover? They had an Elantra in on hand up there. They didn't let us take it on the track, but we got to take it out on some twisty roads. And I really liked that and wish they had done all the stuff that they had done to the IONIQ 5 in to the Elantra in. It just seemed a bit more appropriate.
How about the IONIQ 6?
Yeah, yeah. For instance. The N is going to make its way throughout the line. I think it makes sense because they make a lot of profit off of these things, just as AMG does for Mercedes and M does for BMW. I think that they are. It's a smart business move, and it's good for us as journalists because we get to drive these fun things. Now, I was sort of sliding that thing all over around the corners, and it has these wonderful tires that just allow you to just drift, like not necessarily drift in the sense of, you know, rear wheel drive formula drift, but more like you know, sliding around in a corner. They're very safe tires. The handling is very predictable at the limit. It starts to go, but it goes very gently, very slowly. It's it is fun. It is a blast.
Now, I drove another product from this Korean manufacturer. I drove the Hyundai Santa Cruz, which, again, you can see that this company is trying to be in all segments. And the Korean Santa Cruz is the Korean pickup truck. Yes, it's a pickup truck. It does have a bed, and it's a workable bed. It's a four-door compact pickup truck, I would say, which is hard to compare because within that segment in the United States, we do not have a lot of offerings from other brands. I can only think of the Ford Maverick, but that's like a whole different product altogether. I think the designer group have done a wonderful job because it looks good. It sort of hides the bed. Sometimes if you know, depending how you look at it from which angle you're looking at the car, it might look like some sort of sedan, but it does have a workable bed that is 4.5 feet wide by 4 feet deep. And when you extend the tailgate, now you will be able to do what's most important for all pickup truck owners. You will be able to load a 4x8 plywood. Now, there's a couple of versions, and there is one version that it's all-wheel drive and can also tow up to 5,000 pounds. That is very, very impressive for being a compact truck. It's powered by the 2.5 four-cylinder engine, and there is a 2.5 turbo version, which has 380 foot-pound of torque, about 280 horsepower. That is more than you ever need. But that will give you the ability to not just tow, but if you maybe you want to tow a couple of dirt bikes, or if you go camping, it will allow you to get into here, some trails that you might not be able to get without the power to climb. I like the proportions. The interior, it's very much the same as the Hyundai Tucson, which is one of the most popular Hyundai models out there. The new front fascia, it's very, very close. And now it has this new dash. It's a huge digital interface in front of you that is divided in two sections. Very easy to use, and there's still some buttons. So there's still some things that you can turn on and off by switching certain buttons, which I think is important for some. Overall, I found that the dynamics were better for me than the Tucson, because the engineers have sort of reinforced the whole back end of the vehicle to obviously to make sure that they can tow and they can put 500 pounds of weight in the back. So all that reinforcement has made that the suspension now is a lot more rigid, meaning it can work properly and you can feel it when you drive. I had the opportunity
It's not bouncy when you drive?
Not at all. That was my biggest surprise, because I thought as a pickup truck, it would feel different, but no, it was better.
Does it share a lot of architecture with the Tucson?
It's pretty much the Tucson, which is being sort of modified in the back and strengthened to be able to tow, especially, and put weight in the back. But all these changes, which are not very significant, when you reinforce the structure, now the suspension can work better. I was very impressed. I thought they did a great job for the first pickup truck.
And I will say that I think it's the best looking pickup truck out there. Even if you go up to, it's definitely the best of that class. What are they calling it? Midsize?
But it's a compact. They call it a compact truck.
Compact. Yeah. Okay. If you go up to like a full size pickup truck, those things are just blocks. They're square blocks. Whereas the Santa Fe looks quite fetching, I would say.
Yeah, and I think if you are a family or single person that likes to go to the national parks, you like to go camping, you like to take your bicycle with you, but you go to a nice, you know, remote place, this is the ticket. This will give you that opportunity. And that bed is small in a way, because it's only 4.5 by 4, but also there is a hidden sort of trunk in the back. You can lift the back, you know, there's a cover, and you have another space that is 38 inches by 18 inches, and seven or eight inches deep. That's quite enough to put quite a lot of gear. And on the sides of the bed itself, there's also other cubicles that are integrated. So they put a lot of thought. The bed itself, there is a cover that you can slide up. You can maintain things there where nobody could see them. I'm not sure about closing it. It opens very easily. You just slide it. You push it forward and it goes. To close it, there's a strap that you have to pull to close that lid. I'm not sure I like that part, but overall, I think they've done a very good job. And the pricing is right. Starts in the high 20s. Overall, it's in the mid 30s. And then you have some premium versions, which I never suggest.
Okay, I was going to say it's time now for our final begging and pleading. We have 2 minutes left on the show, so we're going to spend it putting the screws to you. Please, we are, okay, I guess we're not supposed to beg. I think we got a memo, no begging, but imploring. How about imploring people to support KPFK and to support the car show in particular? If you're going to make a donation, do it now in the next 2 minutes, because then we get the credit for it. And we feel great about ourselves, which is always a good thing. Please call 818-985-5735. We've got just over a minute to go here. Go to kpfk.org. You don't even have to talk to anybody there. You just go to kpfk.org and click donate. Just send anything in. You spend $5 on coffee every time you get a cup of coffee. So
all your friends, Mark, with the electric cars, they're not spending any money on gasoline. They can send us, you know.
That's right. Yes. All those communist tree huggers with their electric cars can take all that money they saved and give it to us here at KPFK. We need you. You need us. It's mutualism. All we ask is a small donation for our spring.
And basically, we ask for your help to continue this. It is a tradition already in Los Angeles. I mean, over 50 years every Saturday, telling you what's going on with the cars, with the car shows. We have a calendar. You can send your questions. And we're trying to hint what's good and what's bad out there. It's been a pleasure, Mark. We have to continue next Saturday.
Next Saturday, stick around for Rhapsody in Black with Bill Garner, and we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
Support comes from Art Don't Sleep and Jazz Is Dead, presenting Japan's highly respected trumpeter Takuya Kuroda on April 23rd at the Lodge Room in Highland Park. Takuya is an inventive, forward-thinking musician who's developed a unique hybrid sound, blending soulful jazz, funk, post-bop, fusion, and hip-hop music. The show at the Lodge Room will be his debut on the Jazz Is Dead stage. For tickets, visit jazzisdead.com.
My life, my life, my life, my life in the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine.
Support comes from UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting La Dama on Sunday, May 5th at the UCLA Nimoy Theater. The all-female band channels the instruments and musical stylings of their various countries of origin, Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, and United States, in one rich Latin alternative sound. For more information and tickets, visit cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org. Support comes from UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting Luciana Souza and Trio Corrente on Saturday, April 27th, at UCLA Nimoy Theater. The Brazilian artists fuse their bossa nova and jazz stylings to bring new takes on classic sambas and original songs from their latest album, Cometa. For more information and tickets, visit cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
Rapaz, que os planos incluíam viajar, mas sempre sem juízo dá prejuízo.
Harry Harrison with you, and you know, in times of uncertainty, you might be listening to this station a little more than usual. And that's because you know you can come here for essential information as well as for comfort and community. The team at this station helps keep you connected with the information you need as well as grounded when things feel less stable. You see, we're committed to keeping you in the loop and engaged with all you appreciate. KPFK is made possible thanks to the generous support of listeners like you. So please, give to keep it going. Your support makes a difference. Here's how to help. To make a pledge, call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Or go online to kpfk.org.
Hi, Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! In-depth news coverage is becoming a rare commodity in today's media landscape. There's a straightforward reason. It's no longer profitable for commercial media. Serious journalism is expensive. It takes time to prepare. It requires a large and talented team of researchers, reporters, editors, and producers. That's why listener-supported news and information on KPFK is more important than ever. We continue to bring you comprehensive coverage from skilled, dedicated journalists because you continue to support the work we do here all year round. Please continue to support KPFK, all the vital work that's done at this Pacifica station. Call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK.